guys, welcome. We are so glad you're here. And we want to thank everybody for being here. We want to say a special welcome to our visitors again and our family online. It is a busy weekend. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, well, birthday party, graduation, all the things are happening. And so we just want to welcome you. And I want to, before we jump into this series, I want to thank everybody, both in the room and our family online for last week. We did Orange Sunday last week, which was full-on Bridge Kids in the house. They helped lead the service. The message came from the storyteller. It was amazing. It was the first time that we've done it like that. Like the last time we did Orange Sunday like that, we were recording because y'all were watching from home because we were still in lockdown. And so I just want to thank especially our parents. We had a great time, and when we do it in 6 months, we'll have set our kids up for a little bit better success in transitions and different things. But it was just a phenomenal morning. And so for every volunteer, for every Bridge Kids leader, for Pastor Mary, and for all our parents, we just want to say thanks. You guys were amazing last week, and it was a great day of church last week. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. All right, well, listen, we are going to continue in our series called The Resurrected Life, and that's the series we started on Easter Sunday, and we've been going through what it really means to live the resurrected life, because too often we get stuck, not that forgiveness is a bad thing, but we kind of get stalled out at the cross where our sins are paid for, and we don't move on to the empty tomb where we really begin to live in what the freedom from sin looks like. And so we've talked, we've dug into and learned what it means to what the Spirit's role is. We learned last week about restoration with the story of Peter, because the resurrected life is definitely a life that is restored. We don't cast aside our old selves. God restores them into our new selves, which is an amazing thing. Today, we want to talk about what it means to be Spirit-led, because I promise you that the resurrected life is a life that is absolutely, positively led by God's Spirit. And I want to pause for a moment, because a lot of people can tune out about this point, about this time. One, they want to talk about Spirit empowerment, or when we talk about Spirit-led, everybody thinks, well, that's just for the super spiritual people. Being Spirit-led, that's just for those pastor people. That's just for those prayer warriors. Like, everybody's not supposed to be Spirit-led. Au contraire, mon frère, that is not true. Every one of us is supposed to be led by the Spirit as a believer in Jesus Christ. And that means living by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. But that sounds about as fluffy as be Spirit-led, right? Like, what does that really mean? And so that's what we want to jump into today. And we have two key texts. We're going to be in Romans 8 and Galatians 5. As we unpack, I was listening to a sermon this week. She said, as we excavate. And I really like that, because I always say we're going to dig in. We're going to excavate. I feel a little more elevated with that. But no, it's all good. We're going to start in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. And I want to invite you guys to read with me. Up here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Goes on, and it's a little complex wording, and so I just want to read it to you, verses 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. In other words, what the law couldn't do, because the law depended on people and people aren't perfect, God made Jesus a people and he came down to us. It goes on to say, and so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's a whole lot of theology in 4 little verses. Like, there's a whole class, semester long, right there. We're not going to do that, but here's what I want you to take away. Before Jesus, the law was sin management. We got to manage our problems. We got to manage our sin. We got to deal with it in our flesh. But after Jesus, see, Jesus wasn't about sin management. Jesus brought sin defeat. Jesus brought victory over sin. Jesus demolished sin and death. And this is really important, and I wanted to start here this morning because if we're going to live a real Spirit-led life, we have to, in faith, come to grips with the fact that we don't have to be slave to sin. We do not have to be defeated by sin. We are, according to this, set free from the control of sin. And that matters because if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that because of what Jesus did and the fact that I am marked by the Spirit, I am sealed by the Spirit, that I don't have to be defeated by sin, then when I face a situation, I don't walk in with the assumption that I'm going to lose anyway, so I might as well just go with it. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever thought, there's just no way I can beat this thing? I've been struggling with this for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I've been struggling my whole life. I just can't do this. I want to tell you that Jesus said, God said, that you have been set free from sin and death. You don't have to do it. Romans 6, 11 to 14 puts it a little more clearly for us, just so you don't think I'm exaggerating. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign over your mortal body so that you should obey its lusts. And it skips down a little bit and it says, for sin shall not be master over you. Somebody needs to hear today that sin shall not be master over you. I had to look in the mirror a couple times in my life and go, sin shall not master me, because Jesus mastered sin, like took it out, it's done. It is not the power that controls us. So I want you to take this away. Satan can tempt you. Satan can take the thing that you are most susceptible to and wave it with a big red banner. He can be one of those sign flippers going, come on, come on, you want to do this, right? He can have his flags. You want to do this. But he can only do it from the sidelines. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Satan cannot own you. Satan cannot destroy you. Satan cannot take you out. Now, you can go take his class. You can go sit in his classroom, but he cannot. He cannot come and get you. And somebody needs to be set free today from that. Because as a believer, Satan's power over you is broken by Christ, and your life is sealed in the Spirit. It said you are not slave. In the Spirit, you are set free. So the first thing I really need us to understand is that the Spirit leads us to freedom. Anybody need a little freedom in the house? Y'all celebrate the 4th of July like it is the best thing ever, and it's pretty amazing. But that's our freedom in the flesh. That's our freedom in this world. We got freedom in eternity. Yes, yes. Freedom from sin, freedom from death. That's to be celebrated. I want to go on. We're going to go down a little bit. Actually, Romans 8, 5 to 8. I want you to read with me. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to tell you, I was just going to leave those last two verses out because they weren't as pertinent to our message today. But I felt a check. I felt we needed to hear them because the passage says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And can I tell you that the church can take that really on a high horse sometimes, and it hurts people. The reality is, unbelievers, we aren't any better than unbelievers. God isn't pleased with us because of what we do or how we do it. God isn't pleased with us for how many days we go without sinning or how much we study our Bible. God is pleased with us because he sees us through the lens of a perfect Jesus. And that's the only reason God can be pleased with us as we walk in that. And so, church, we need to be really, really careful when we read verses like that, not to treat people who haven't accepted Jesus yet as less than. Because God put us here. God put us in Indian Head. God put us as humanity, as believers on the earth after Jesus to introduce people to Jesus. But he specifically called Bridge Church to this forgotten community to show people that they are seen and known and loved by him. And if we think they're less than, we can't do that with any authenticity. That's not what I see from this church. I see 80 people and 45 volunteers who pour it all out to minister to 700 people the day before Easter and make people happy and love on them so well. But I just want to anchor us there as then we move forward in how we walk this Spirit-led life. It says in the passage that those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. See, part of the problem when we start talking Holy Spirit and where denominations get divided and people get in arguments and all this stuff happens or things get taken out of context or the world really gets hurt and the church really gets hurt is because all our prayers, not all our prayers in this room, collectively as the church in the United States, which is an on-demand society, most of our prayers revolve around empower me. Just give me the power, Holy Spirit. Just let me hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Let me just hear you. If I could just hear God. There's a whole lot of hearing right here. The question is, are we listening? Because it says we have to walk in accordance with, have our mind set on that. That Greek word means a habitual or characteristic mental attitude that determines how you will interpret and respond to a situation. I want to take us out of the academic for a minute, and I want you to hear those words applied to your life as I hear them applied to my life. When I am living in accordance with, when I set my mind on the Spirit, then when I encounter a situation, when I encounter a struggle, when I encounter a rude driver, when I encounter a crisis, when I am in a helicopter being flown from one hospital to the next, right after they tell me they'll discharge me in about 10 minutes, and instead they go, oh, the helicopter's on its way. Having my mind set on the Spirit means that will determine how I interpret and respond to the situation. I will see the heart of the waitress who's had a really bad day. Or maybe we don't know what their past is, or the waiter. I will trust that the Father has me in his hand. I will have grace where my flesh would not have grace. I will have strength to walk past the sign-waving demon that is trying to tempt me into something else, right? Because my mind is set on the Spirit. And I want us to understand that there's nothing hocus pocus about that, right? We're not chasing Casper. Like, set on the Spirit, that sounds all churchy. Jesus, remember what he said? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth will come. And the Spirit of truth will teach you. The Spirit of truth will remind you what I've already taught you. The Spirit of truth will help you to understand. He will give you wisdom to unpack. And yes, the Spirit of truth will also give you some revelation. But 3 out of 4 is all based on what we have already studied and what we already know from God's Word. And I just want to encourage us not to be so busy chasing the revelation that we miss the meat and the Word that we already have that God has given us to build our life upon. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And he wasn't led into the wilderness for a spiritual retreat. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. And in that, it wasn't Jesus' supernatural gifts. It wasn't Jesus' miraculous healing powers. It wasn't the miracles. It wasn't the deity that defeated Satan. It was the word of God that Jesus knew. He is the word. Okay, he had a leg up. I'll give you that. But it is the word of God that Jesus knew. And by the way, it was the word that Satan used to try to tempt him. The word that was just twisted just a little. The word that wasn't quite portrayed accurately. The word that was taken out of context. But see, Jesus had the whole word in his heart, and he defeated the enemy with the word of God. When you are struggling, what do you have to defeat the enemy with? What do you have to help you walk past the temptation? What do you have in your arsenal to keep you on the right track? Because Jesus had the word, and that sent Satan packing. Just saying. Why? Why as a people do we turn to friends, talk shows, Twitter feeds, social media, reels? I've learned some good kitchen tips from reels, but they're not going to save my marriage, right? By the way, our marriage is fine, but we turn to every other place but our Bible to be informed on how to live our life and fix our crisis. God teaches us that every day we're to put on the armor of God, and the armor of God includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is the only offensive weapon that we have. And we barely, I don't know about you, I tell you what, I won't talk to you. For the first 5 years of my walk with God, I barely learned how to pick this up and open it, much less master it as a weapon in my hand. You ever seen a parent go in to take a karate class with a bunch of kids, or a jiu-jitsu class with a bunch of kids who have been doing it for years, and they're all little black belts, and the parent walks in, and they're like falling over, no idea how to do any of it? That better not be how we handle the sword of the Spirit, because we're not going to get anywhere with that. Marriages, finances, parenting, how to handle illness, sickness, depression, health, anger issues, all those things, how to handle your business, how to be a good leader, how to rebuild your life after it falls apart, how to do it all. It's here. It's here. And we have to be governed by it, and we can't be governed by what we don't know. And so we got to get in the word. It's why we do Bridge Builders groups. It's why we have our reading plan that we're in. You're like, Pastor Jen, I hear that, but I don't know where to start. Like, I look in the front, and it lists the books, but it doesn't say marriage problems or depression. It doesn't tell me those things. It doesn't show me. So, y'all, I'm going to give you a great hack and stop. I mean, if you have to, Google it, but then you got to read, like, the whole chapter to make sure it's in context, right? We have these books up here. God's Promises and Answers. There's a ton of these on the market. I scoured them. I have been buying this one for 15 years of ministry now because, hands down, I think it's one of the best references. And there is a concordance, or there's an index, sorry, with all the things. How do you deal with grace? How do you deal with anger? How do you deal with the unsaved? Grieving, need, peace, patience, worry, depression, anger, all marriage, children. It's all in here. Now, what I'll tell you is we have these. You can take them. You can go online and order it. Make sure you take a picture. Once you find the verses to read and pray and memorize, find where they're at, and then open them up in here and read the chapter. Okay? But if you don't know where to start to deal with some of the struggles and the challenges, we have resources. It's scripture. It's scripture presented in a little package to help us out till we get a little further along. But it's there, and we want you to take it. We want you to use it because it matters. Because when we're governed by the Spirit, which is the Word, with that comes peace. So if I go back up to the passage, it says that the mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And that peace in the Greek means a supernatural state of peace that is a blessing from God. It just doesn't mean the birds are singing and the sun is out and there's a breeze. It is a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. So the Spirit leads us to freedom, but the Spirit leads us to life and to peace. This is a little heavy. You guys doing okay? Yes. Online family, I hope we're doing well this morning. We're going to keep going. Romans 8, 12 and 13. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh. See, we keep being bound to the world, but we have an obligation not to the world. We have an obligation to God. Let me go back to the passage. We have an obligation not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. In other words, if you live in the flesh, if you keep going back to the world's way, that brings death. But the Spirit in you, not you, you don't have the strength to do it, but the Spirit in you defeats death and brings life. It says put to death. I don't usually give you guys this many Greek or Hebrew definitions in one sermon, but this text is rich and it's just so much. And so it says that put to death means to stop a state of activity, because it's not like kill. It's not a physical kill. It's a conceptual put to death. To stop a state or activity with lethal determination. I love that. Like, what in your life needs you to stop it with some lethal determination? What in your life do you need to stop dancing with and with a little lethal determination just put a stop to it? I had something in my life I needed to address this week. In my spirit, I needed to reevaluate. Pretty quiet. I'm guessing I'm not the only one. Why is this important to the resurrected life? Why is it tied in here? You will live. And that word live is not like an everyday life. It is to become alive in a transcendent manner, especially characteristic of the resurrected life. Especially characteristic of the resurrected life without sin or sin subjugation, which means control by sin. Y'all, we don't have to keep dancing with the devil. We don't have to dine at the table of demons if we go back to the first sermon on communion. Jesus set us free. The Spirit walks us into that freedom. The Spirit leads us to resurrected life. But will we follow? That's the real question. The Spirit can lead, but the Spirit won't drive. The Spirit can guide, but the Spirit won't force. Will we follow? Because a Spirit-led life isn't forced, it's offered. I think we get the wrong vision of this a lot of times. We talk about the Spirit-led life, and we talk about holiness. We hear the word holiness and or righteousness, and so we try to wrap that all up in abundant life because it sounds happier, and it is. But we hear those things, and there's this sense that we have this drill instructor, right, that's trying to make us charge Mount Everest. Like leading the Spirit-led life is this crazy, hard, difficult thing. And I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's the wrong picture. Because when we follow the Spirit, that's not a picture of being driven up a hill to do a crazy task, some extreme obstacle course. The true picture is a world around us that is full of landmines. It's a giant landmine field. And if we step this way, it's death. And if we step this way, it's death. And the Spirit comes and takes our hands and knows where every mine is. And when we follow the Spirit, then we are never in danger because our feet know exactly where to step. That is what it means to be led by the Spirit. That is what we're after. The Spirit came to bring freedom, not burden. This life is not meant to be burden. Abundant life in Christ is not meant to be something so heavy we can't achieve it. It's meant to be the life-giving path that takes us through the landmine field. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Paint that picture in your mind and hold on to it. And the next time you get tempted, and I mean to hold a grudge, to be easily offended, to spend your money the wrong way. Like, we aren't tying that to the big sins, because they're all the same. To lose your temper with your kids. Listen for the prompting of the Spirit and go back to what the Word says. The Spirit leads and we have to follow. We've already talked about, how do I hear? That's the wrong question. The question is, will I listen? The overwhelming majority of what you need to hear is right here. And the more you know this, the more you'll get the go right, go left. The more you'll get the extra things. But 95% of what you need to live the abundant life is literally printed for us, waiting for us to digest it, waiting for us to learn to handle it, waiting for us to wear our sword every day and draw it when necessary. So how do we do it? Y'all are really quiet this morning. Okay, well, I'm going to trust your processing, and it's all okay. There we go, April, thank you. Whew, wow. You want to help? Okay, I'm listening. Landmines, that way and that way. Got it. We practice listening, right? Because when we practice listening, when we're in this, he speaks direction. But I want to say this. To be Spirit-led is not just to clearly hear. As a matter of fact, that is just the very beginning step. To be Spirit-led requires us to quickly obey and respond to God. I was reading Charles Stanley. That surprised somebody this morning. It surprised me a little bit this week. But he's got a great book on the Holy Spirit. And he said that our response to God has to be an uncompromised response to his voice. Not a hesitated response, not a gauged response, but an immediate and uncompromised response to his voice. That is how we lead the Spirit-led life. Galatians 5, 16 to 18, I want you to read this with me. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Remember, not under the law of sin and death. The law told everybody what not to do. That's what we get from this. The law told everybody what not to do, and it made the focus negative. It was sin management. But Paul says that's not how it is with the Spirit. The Spirit says, walk with me. And when you walk with me, those other things, they automatically fall away. It's not about what we don't do. It's about what we do, and we do it his way. To walk with him means to behave in a way or a manner that is in accordance. It pleases the Spirit, which is to walk in love and walk in obedience. Y'all, the good news is the resurrected life is not a life of don'ts. It's a life of do's. Amen. It's a life of do let people know they are seen, known, and loved. It's not a life of don't this, don't that, don't this. It's a life of do love your neighbor. It's a life of do have a healthy marriage. It's a life of do help your kids to thrive and grow. It's a life of how you succeed. It's a life of how you are victorious. But it requires that we submit, and we hate that word, but we submit to the Spirit. So I have to ask, how's your walk? How's my walk? Verses 24 and 25 of the same chapter of Galatians says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. To keep in step with, to hold, to behave, to process like a graduation. We were at one of our, you guys remember Alicia? She was our intern last summer. Her graduation was down at SWU. We watched the kids process. Some of them did not process. They strode. But keeping in step with the Spirit, the military mom in me was like, snatch you up, walk down that line, right? Your parents paid a lot of money to see this moment. Sorry. Don't you know God says that to us? I paid a lot for you. What is wrong with you? Jesus paid everything for you. Why don't you stand up and walk right? Just saying. It's easier when we talk about the teens than when we talk about ourselves. See, we got to walk with intentionality to follow, and to follow without question. In that same book, Charles Stanley said, to walk by the Spirit is to live with a moment-by-moment dependency on and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Because surrender to the Spirit is an uncompromised response to His voice. There is a beautiful picture of what surrender to the Spirit is. Like, I read the whole book of Acts looking for all the places. I was going to bring it up here. There's like verse after verse of the Spirit told them this, and the Spirit said that, and the Spirit wouldn't let them go here. But that's all after we learn to listen and follow and walk in step with, and then we can get to those kind of moment-by-moment directions, right? But there's a beautiful picture in Acts 10 where Peter still thinks the whole Jewish church still thinks that the Gentiles are dirty and they're heathen pig dog sinners, and you know they can't be redeemed unless they become Jews, and then they can become Christians, and that's not how it works. And there's this vision, and God's trying to get it through Peter's head that everybody's on an equal playing field and nobody's special anymore like that. Everybody's special because of Jesus. Nobody's more special, right? It's not to do with them. And God, the angel speaks to Peter, and then the Spirit speaks to Peter. In Acts 10, 19 and 20, it says, while Peter was still thinking about his vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, because he was laying down. Get up and go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. See, keeping in step with the Spirit requires great faith sometimes. Because everything Peter had in his past and his history and his teaching told him, good little Jewish boys, don't go off with a bunch of Gentiles somewhere. That's not how we do things. That's religion, and religion doesn't do it like that. And the Spirit said, do what I tell you to do without hesitation. And Peter got up and he went. And it's a really big deal. Like, I keyed in on this out of all the things, because later on in the chapter, Peter shows up and he's there, and he goes with the men, and he's at the centurion's house, and the Spirit told the centurion, the angel told the centurion, send people to go get Peter. He's going to come minister to you. All those things are happening. But Peter shows up. It's a journey to get there. He goes with these people that he's not supposed to really associate with, and he goes with them without hesitation. And he gets there, and he basically says, okay, I'm here because the Spirit told me to come without hesitation, so I came without hesitation. Why am I here? I didn't even know. Sometimes the Spirit will prompt us to move, and we better move. You better know His voice. You got to be grounded in this to take direction like that, or you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. I don't spend an extra 10 hours a week digging through scriptures because I think y'all need to be scholarly. It's because I'm terrified. Terrified is too strong. I am very mindful that I not teach you scripture out of context that can get you into trouble. See, we got to learn deep so we can wield well. The Jews get pretty upset about what Peter did, and in the next chapter, in chapter 11, you'll find he's called in front of the council, and he has to explain himself why he went to the Gentiles and why he put his hands on them and prayed for the Spirit, for them to receive the Spirit. And he says, well, God told me to go, the Spirit told me to go without hesitation. Three times, without hesitation comes up in this story. And I thought, wow, we better pay attention to that, because keeping in step has to be done without hesitation. Anybody in marching band or the military, like been in the military, in any, all right? You march in step. If you're in marching band, as an 8-to-5 ratio, I can still do it quite well. My pace is still pretty solid because I did competitive marching band for almost 6 years in junior high and high school, and then went in the military. Anyway, but the whole point is, when you're in step, you got to be intentional to get in step. But you got to know you're not perfect. You're gonna get out of step. Sometimes you're gonna get out of step, and you just got to jump back in. You got to do a quick shuffle step to get back in. You can't hesitate. Some of, like, Shawnee and Jessica, we did a bunch of running together, and they would laugh at me because I still have to get back in step. If we're jogging along and somehow I've gotten out of step, I do that, and I'm back in step. I can't not be in step. I do. Pastor Rick, I do. We can't hesitate. There's no amount of hesitation or lag that gets you back in step the right way. You just got to adjust and keep it moving. You know something, it's funny, in competitive marching band anyway, when you get out of step, if you do a quick shuffle step to get back in step, that is a tiny little tenth of a point deduction. But if you get out of step and you stay out of step, it is massive. The other thing is, when you get out of step and you stay out of step, causes all the people around you to start to get out of step. See, what we do every day matters, because we got to keep in step with the Spirit, because the world is watching, because our kids are watching, because our spouse is watching, because believers, whether you are brand new to your faith or seasoned in your faith, we gotta stay in step together, because if one of us gets off, it's a lot easier to drag others down. We got to keep in step. Did I say you're always going to get out of step at some point? See, Jesus was the only one that was perfectly in step with the Spirit. But I want to go back to Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation in being out of step. We just got to get back. Because the enemy can't own you. As a believer, Jesus owns you, and the Spirit has sealed that. In Jesus, we are co-heirs. We are adopted into sonship, which is sonship and daughtership. It's a neutral word. I have to ask, church, who am I in step with? Who are you in step with? Not on Sunday morning when we're all worshiping, when you're at work, when I'm driving. I'll never forget, years ago I was praying, if it is something important, I am not late. If it is anything else, I'll be there 5 or 10 minutes after. Like, I've tried to correct that my whole life. I overstack my calendar. I'm still working on it. I'm ashamed by it. It's just the truth. I used to pray, God, help me get there. Like, help me go faster. Help me get there on time. Like, fix the lights, God. Just fix the lights. And he's like, some of y'all have that same prayer. And the Spirit said, you gonna stop speeding and breaking the law when you ask for my help? Didn't end up 5 minutes early, but I felt a whole lot like... See, we can't just walk in step in the Spirit in the spiritual things. We got to walk in step with the Spirit at work and at home and in our prayer room closet and in our minds and in our feeds and in all the things. And guys, that isn't a burden that leads to death. It is a burden that is not, sorry, it is not a burden. It is a life giving guide, friend that dwells within us, that brings us safely through the minefields of the world into the most abundant life. The Spirit's job is to lead us into Christ-likeness so that we live a resurrected life to the full. The Spirit won't force us to follow. This is the point where we normally have a bottom line. And I kept messing with that. I kept writing it and rewriting it. And I was like, oh, yeah, listen to the Spirit. That's what you're preaching on. And I feel like everybody's bottom line is different today. Some of you simply need to know, to hear me foot stomp over and over. Satan can't own you. As a believer, you are free from sin and death. There is no sin that you cannot defeat in Jesus Christ through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because he already did it. We just got to walk in it. Some of us need to understand that the Spirit is leading us to life and peace. He is not leading us to burden and task. Spirit-led is not about religion, and it is not about chasing Casper. It is about a life of life and peace. Some of us need to just shift our picture from trying to climb Mount Everest to being safely escorted through a landmine field. Some of us need a real check on how my walk is or who I'm in step with. I don't know what your bottom line is today, but you know what I do know? I know that what the law was powerless to do in the flesh, Jesus did for us in the Spirit, and that there is no condemnation, and that the Spirit has set us free. And that is the invitation. April, would you come up and pray for us, please?
Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be here today to have the opportunity to receive your word from your servant, to remind us that we do not have to be defeated by sin, oh God, but to have the mind of the Spirit so that we could be led by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us so that we can have this opportunity of freedom. We thank you, Lord. We don't take it for granted. We ask that as we go through this week, oh God, that you give us the strength to stay in step with the Spirit, even though we may get out of step, just to pop back in.
That's right.
Don't fall victim to when we fall out of step that we think we're just totally lost. We're not. Thank you for the opportunity to know that we can get back in step with the Spirit. Thank you, oh Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We trust you, oh God. Lord, let this be a week of resurrection like never before. Let us become new creatures. Thank you for opportunity of renewal.
That's right.
Thank you, God. We honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you.